Dave, we've done what, 4 or 5 episodes in a row now with no guests. What the hell is Jesus your problem? Man?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I mean,
look, I'm trying to think of the audience here, guys. You know, they expect us to put out quality, and you know, it's been God 300 episodes of just the two of you.
You realize this is only episode what, 72, 73?
Yeah.
There's, you know, I think you're exaggerating just a little.
Well, who's counting? The point is,
we are.
Look, I send you the list of stuff that the voiceovers that I need, and I get them back, and it's just full of this snark. This,
come on,
Matt and Al again. I mean, we're trying to do a show here. We're trying to get back to
basics. All we're asking for is just like a little bit of professionalism.
All I'm asking for is blind obedience. Just do what I send you, and you know, quit with the editorializing. Yeah,
that works too.
But the audience, I mean, they're listening to the same thing week after week after week. These poor people, you know, they put their well-earned dollars into this podcast, you know, they expect to get something for it.
Well, what do you mean the podcast is free?
Yeah, nobody pays for this.
Wait a minute. Al's been charging me $4.99 an episode. What do you mean free?
No, that's a service charge. That's that was clearly explained in your contract. And look, you're diverting from the issue here. This is not the issue right now. The issue is your editorializing is sort of eclipsing our show. I've had about enough of it.
I'm just trying to inject some tiny bit of quality into the product.
All right, Matt, what do you think? You think
you can
do it?
You know what? If you think you can do it so much better, then you do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, let's do a show where you're the host.
So great. You show us how it's done.
Yeah. So
all right, I will. This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast under new management. Episode 73 featuring me. Sit back and settle in for a big slice of Dave Cake. Yes, hi, hello. Welcome to the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. I am your host, Dave Fields. Joining me this week, we have Ron Algar Watt. According to Sarcastopedia, there are two kinds of people, those who address Ron Algar Watt as Ron, and those who address him as Algar. In the former camp, there are co-workers, family members, and bill collectors. In the latter, there are people he actually wants to talk to. Hello, Algar.
Hi.
Also this week with me is Matt Robotham. Matt Robotham was born in the wilds of distant Canada. Born with no discernible skills, he rose to prominence answering questions on some message board and knowing far more about Batman than most people are comfortable with. Hello, Matthew.
Yeah, hey.
Hell of a job so far, man. I mean,
that's what you're going with, huh?
Aces there, Chief.
Yeah, that's...
Why, thank you, gentlemen.
That's super duper.
So what do you got next? You got some notes? You got some show prep? You got... yeah. What are we doing?
I believe we have some questions from the audience.
Oh, this is always death. Let's do that.
Wait, I need to re-log in. I have timed out.
And you can't even stay in the email right.
Look it up in the books, folks. Professional.
Yes, I am a professional podcaster.
You got to remember to call back to our many running jokes. That's the thing.
It is true. I am never not calling back to jokes.
All right, that was pretty good.
Yeah, maybe there's a little potential here. Totally fucking it up. Go ahead. So what are we doing? I know, you know, you're the advocate of the audience. You're the one speaking out on their behalf. What they really don't like is dead air. You hear that? Mm-hmm. Nothing happening. They'll turn their players off immediately. They don't.
It's not like this thing gets edited or anything.
No, if you're going to be doing something, you have to cover for it. You have to have something happening.
Dear Dave, for God's sake, stop talking. Put Al and Matt back on.
Wow. Oh. That's that real-time mail server that we set up really paid off, I guess. All right, then. So this is a mail show, and let's get to it.
Yep.
And Dave, you remember your place, right? And no more mutiny from you, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Call Matt, sir, too.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Refreshing, like a mountain spring.
His pain does taste delicious, doesn't it?
Mm.
Very well, sir.
Hey, and we got a patent on that.
Yeah, that's our bit, too.
Unless this is Steve Allen, you're stealing my bit.
Unless this is the real life Willikins, you're definitely stealing our bit. Now, we must, of course, excuse our distinguished voice guy. He's hopped up on MP3s right now.
Mm.
We recently found out about this news story, and we'll be sharing it with you. Apparently, parents are quite concerned over children getting high off of MP3s, off of, what do they call it, binaural beats?
Yes, that's right. If you didn't think people could get any stupider, you were wrong.
So they're binaurally beating off?
Apparently. I know you're trying to make a pun there, but, you know.
I
refuse to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
No, there's, you did.
There's this thing. and apparently there's a slight scientific basis to it. Like, there's some actual real science here, but it's obviously bullshit. And it's it will provide you some links. But I'm going to play some of this right now. So if you all get, like, deliciously high, then you're going to think that the rest of the show is hilarious. And
that'll play right into our hands.
Yeah, exactly. But for you now, I want to play for you the Gates of Hades, which is apparently similar to audio crack.
Now, make sure you're lying back, close your eyes, make sure you're wearing headphones, and let it wash over you.
Oh, the instructions I have here say that you can't be movieing.
Okay, so don't movie at all.
There you go. That was the Gates of Hades. So now you should all be under our control.
Now you've got the Reefer Madness.
That's delightful.
All power to the Hypno Owl.
All right, let's get into some letters here, won't we? Let's see. First letter comes from our old friend Bob, and he writes, "Dear podcast at Algar.com, why are you an email address and not a Twitter account? Clicking a mail to link is a lot of fucking effort. Yours, etc., Brigadier General Arthur Gormanstop, Mrs." One of you guys want to field this one?
Well, apparently the Brigadier General is unaware of the sarcastic Voyage Twitter account that, well, to be fair, hasn't been used since 1973.
Well, no, I mean, we set it up and we're only followed by other Voyage accounts. There's like the Love Boat. And
yeah.
Like Voyager, Star Trek Voyager. I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. It's like,
yeah, no.
Kate Muller started following it.
80s television show Voyagers. Are they following you?
No, because John Eric Hexum is long dead. So
and his ghost, however, is following us.
And Mino Pelus is nowhere to be found. So there's that.
Somebody. So he's suspiciously missing.
Yes?
Yeah.
Some sort of an unsolved mystery there, maybe?
Or perhaps he's just gone underground and is stalking you.
Are you going somewhere with this?
No.
I'm sick of people underground stalking us. I got enough problem from mole people.
Or crab people.
Or mole crab people.
All right.
Or mole people with crabs.
Or nab people.
The
real leave it to the professionals, okay?
I think we're done browbeating Dave. We gotta give him a chance to insult us again now. So let's, you know.
When are you ever done browbeating Dave?
Well, if you would stop with the horrible puns.
You know I can't do that. You've known me for 15 years. I can't stop with the horrible puns.
I suppose that's true. All right. The next question comes from our old pal, Ed Casey, and he writes, "Dear sirs, why am I listening to Iron Maiden right now? Sincerely, Ed."
I assume it's because it's the only thing you have available to you.
Jesus, why are you listening to Iron Maiden ever?
Look, I saw them in 1990, and that was a kick-ass show, so yeah, shut up. All right, next question comes from Duh, and he writes, "Roll-on gel or spray, what type of Old Spice are you using?"
I don't use Old Spice. That shit smells terrible.
I think this is one of those internet phenomena that we've missed out on. It's one of those weird little... Dave, have you seen this Old Spice thing?
Well, I'm currently using nutmeg, but I try to keep it fresh.
Just smearing it on down there.
Wait, you just listened to an MP3 to get stoned, and you're on nutmeg?
Dude.
God, is there no end to your depravity?
I know. There's like a toxic interaction there that you really should be aware of. If your erection's going to persist for 12 hours now.
That's awesome. Can you see my hand right now?
No. I'd be coated in nutmeg.
I cannot see your hand at all.
Oh, wait, let me get it out of my shorts. Oh. Now can you see it?
apparently there's these, I guess it's like a viral marketing thing or some damn thing for Old Spice that I'm vaguely aware of it, but I have no idea what it's all about, and I don't really care because Old Spice smells like people's granddads.
You know, I was going to say, it does smell like my grandfather.
Yeah, exactly, like everybody's grandfather, and my grandfather's long dead, so.
So what does that tell you?
That's not a good smell.
No, exactly. I don't want to be rubbing that all over any part of me, really. So
yes, nothing lures the ladies in like the smell of rotting flesh in the grave. Old Spice.
I will say that Old Spice is probably one step above Brute, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Although Brute makes a fine candle. I used to, this dude I knew in high school would take the Brute bottle, take the cap off, light the top, and the continuous fumes from the bottle would keep the flame lit for hours. This little Brute candle was fantastic.
Well, now you can't just call it Brute. You know, you have to use the whole name. It's Brute by Fabergé.
Oh, of course.
The Egg Company?
Eggs.
Egg. Yes, we make two products. Extremely expensive eggs.
The world's foul-smelling cologne.
Which also doubles as a candle.
Established 1875.
They really cover both extremes, don't they?
Yep, they're pretty much covered.
Do not confuse these two.
I don't know. I think hanging Fabergé eggs off your body would get the chicks a lot faster than the cologne.
Now, what is the story with those eggs? I've heard them as a punchline for years, but are they just decorative? Do they do something?
They're just artworks, you know, made of like gold, like, and gems and shit like that.
It's like a Hummel figurine. It's just a weird little knickknack you have.
And people pay ridiculous amounts of money for these things.
Yeah, I guess.
People collect Hummel figurines. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, but moms do that. I mean, this is like a rich person thing.
Rich moms collect Fabergé eggs. Ah.
Well, see, I guess then you're set because you know what to get your mom for Christmas every year.
See, that's the thing. And that's how those collections start. Mom really liked this last Fabergé egg. I guess I'll get her another one. Oh, it's great. I'll put it next to all the rest of them.
And the bottle. Yeah.
Meanwhile, mom's been, you know, holding in this simmering rage for 12 straight years.
I don't like eggs!
She's got this one bottle of Brute on the shelf from when you were really stupid. They're the same thing, right? Let's see.
Just picture you holding one in one hand and one in the other, just like,
Well, this one costs 99 cents, and this one costs $99,000.
This is the hardest decision I've ever had to make.
How much money? Well,
she did ground me once. All right, it's the cologne.
Yeah, but ironically, she grounded you for giving her Brute for Christmas. So not going to help.
It is most certainly not the thought that counts.
No.
Well, the really sad thing is, you know, when I was in my teenage years, I would swipe some of my dad's Brute when I was going to go out with a, you know, potentially go out with a girl.
Yeah, but see, that's understandable for a teen who doesn't know any better. But your dad had it? Really?
He just kept it out, you know, so you wouldn't steal his good cologne.
Oh, God, it was the decoy. I fell for it.
It's the red herring scented Brute.
Well, you should have known when it was put in a bottle shaped like a duck.
Well, look, you know, I eventually became, you know, a sophisticated man and bought myself a bottle of Drakkar.
See, I don't know what that
Five
is.
5 years after that was relevant.
I have no idea what that is, but it's not Old Spice, so that's a step up.
It was like the Zima of cologne.
Oh, well. That's
popular for a while, and now it's like, really?
That Zima, I don't think, was ever popular. I think
it was.
Well, isn't Zima the soda with like little candies floating in it?
Yeah, it wasn't.
It was sort of between a wine cooler and a malt liquor.
It's sort of between having a wine cooler in your mouth and having a cock in your mouth. Somewhere
and
in
it
that
came in a bottle shaped like a cock.
Yep.
Oh, look, you drank enough of them, and you know one or the other is likely to happen.
I'm going home with somebody, and this Brute's not pulling any chicks in. So, all right.
And nobody will look at my Fabergé egg.
Wearing it around my neck like Flava Flav. What's the problem?
Hey, ladies, ever seen one of these?
All right. Next question comes from the Superior Zioko, Shauna. Shauna, sorry. Not
Shauna-na.
Not Shiana.
Shauna-na.
And she writes, "Dear sirs, I believe I've been quite supportive of your podcast for some time now, even contributing to your humor. I gave you permission to use the great name of Don Bohannon as an excellent pop culture expletive from Space Ghost Coast to Coast. And what do? You call him Dan Bohannon. What the cheese? You called out the name of Don's evil twin, the well-groomed Yankee mastermind Dan Bohannon, thus giving him power. Now, if you said Tom Bohannon, that might have been forgivable as he's a well-respected brother and member of the community. But Dan? Seriously, I'm ashamed of you as the beloved niece of an awesome Donald Bohannon, long ponytailed southern gentleman, cameraman extraordinaire. But I'm a forgiving person, so I will give you another chance. Don't fuck this up. Sincerely, Shauna Zioko." Now, the reason I read this entire thing and the reason I find this interesting is because if you follow Shauna on Twitter, if you talk to her at any length, you realize her saying fuck in any capacity is a bit shocking to say the least. She's She's a delightful girl. I really enjoy her company, but she worked at a church. She's a theology major. She's very into the whole, like, wholesome God thing. And we must have really pissed her off.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. That's probably not much
careful.
Better.
Yeah, that's, oh, man. That's not going to make it any better. Now, honestly, Shauna is one of those people that I point at when my atheist friends get a little too indignant and say, you know, no, Christians are insufferable, blah, 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 they're jerks. I, well, what about her? She's cool. Oh, well, yeah, she's cool.
Shut up.
But we made her say fuck, so I feel, I'm not religious in any way, but I feel kind of guilty. Like, she's going to get in trouble with God now, and it's kind of our fault. We're gonna
I was gonna let you into heaven, but you listen to this podcast with these two
idiots. And for a while it wasn't a bad influence, but then you broke that one day.
Yep.
Sorry, no. So
and then you got addicted to MP3s. It was a downward spiral.
Yep. Wound up living behind a 7-Eleven, hitting people up for iPod charge.
I just need a 5-minute charge, man. That's all I need. Carry me
selling
through.
Stolen Fabergé eggs from iPod money.
Come on, just buy me an iTunes gift card, man. All right.
Well, you know, you mock those MP3s, but I listen to the PMS Relief one, and my cramps are a lot better.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you can't argue with progress. Well, yeah. You can, but I mean, this is the internet. You can argue with anything you want, but I won't argue with progress.
Progress, no.
In fact, I don't think we pointed out that there is a website that supposedly legitimate website.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That sells these MP3s not in dangerous drug form, but in medicinal form. It's like audio acupuncture, like some for headaches, some for tiredness, some for, you know, that kind of thing.
It's sort of like that white noise thing, only like apparently it's supposed to do something.
Well, the white noise thing, I mean, I actually use that. Like,
oh, yeah.
I have the sound of like rain that I fall asleep to, and it relaxes me. But I don't think it has any kind of magic subliminal powers.
No, it's like you listen to the idea is you listen to this thing, and then like, you know, you'll quit smoking or focus
or cluck like a chicken, because that's hypnotists are always trying to get people to cluck like a chicken, right?
Apparently, that's how they get off.
I guess I've never quite understood that, but every time you see like a hypnotist act, it's like okay, now you are a chicken. Like, what is their interest in turning people into chickens?
Look, magicians are just one step up above carnies, so maybe it's best not to ask.
I don't know. Hypnotists are below that.
Yeah.
Like, magicians at least do some tricks, and you try to figure out how they do them, and, you know, there's some showmanship there. Hypnotists are just garbage.
Yeah, and they're creepy garbage. Yes, I'm going, yes, soon you will think you are a chicken, and then you will come back to my place, or I will fuck you like a chicken.
So what comes first? Do they make you think you're a chicken, or do they make you think you're an egg?
Okay, that should not have been funny, but that was all right. Now, if you could tie it back to Fabergé eggs, we really got a soup going here.
Well, you know, the high-end chickens, that's what they lay.
Now you will think you are a Fabergé chicken.
All right. Next question comes from our pal Vishal, and he writes, a dramatic reading of the entire Toy Box's copy would be awesome before reading this question. He's referring to this thing. It's made the rounds. It's this, I guess it's packaging for, what, a Batman toy?
Yeah, like Mexican Batman or something?
Or Italian Spider-Man, something like that.
Shut up, pussycat.
But I figure, I mean, Dave would probably give this the best reading, but it's a lot to read, so maybe we should take turns.
What's this? When being a child, Bruce Wayne had witnessed with his own eyes the fact his parents of millionaire were killed cruelly? So affected his strong desire of revenging his parents. However, God had never given him a chance to fulfill his will.
Following the advice of Ra/ Al Ghul, the chief of ninja group, Bruce came to Geet, which was a corrupted city filled with various crime groups. Bruce found a basement under his villa in which the equipments turned him into another person.
Spider-Man. With this mask, Spider-Man stroke all criminal activates and criminals everywhere, such as Tugan, the chief of mafia, Dr. Jackstraw, the abnormal drug trafficker, even a mysterious opponent quite familiar with him. Find out tomorrow. Same spider time, same spider channel.
All right, we started out talking about Batman, and I basically got the gist of his parents being killed, like always. Then we spin off into Spider-Man stroking all criminal activates. I'm not sure what that's all about.
I really wish the two
Batman porn.
No, that Spider-Man stroking anybody was not in the Batman porn.
Well, it should have been.
They're in different universes. What's wrong with you?
I don't see what the problem is.
One's DC, one's Marvel. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Anyway, Vishal's question goes, dear Tugon and Dr. Jackstraw, and possibly the abnormal drug trafficker, how are you? I am fine. Regarding this awesome toy box copy, which we just read to you, who are the A Mysterious Opponents quite familiar with him? I must know who the AMOQFWH are. Talk about ending on a cliffhanger. Love and Batusi, Vishal.
Obviously, I think you'll find that the mysterious opponent quite familiar with him is the Green Goblin.
I think that's not nearly English enough. I think it would be the Green Ghost on or something. That would be my guess. Dave, you got any clue? I mean, you're sort of the comics outsider here, so any of this make sense to you? Maybe this is written for like the average person who doesn't read a lot of comics. Does this?
I think this is written for the average person who doesn't read.
The parents like, well, this box has words on it. It checks out.
look, honey, you love English.
It's got pictures of Batman.
Nice. So yeah, whoever bought that in whatever the hell country it's from, I'm jealous because none of my toys were ever that cool.
I want to read
my
about
question
that
is, what the hell is this toy?
Wow, that's a whole other thing.
Because all I see is Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
Yes.
Yeah, you get your very own picture of Jim Carrey.
It looks like it's emblazoned on a badge of some kind.
Ah.
It's just what I've always wanted. A badge. A Jim Carrey badge.
He wasn't even a bad choice. Like, you know, Joel Schumacher fucked that movie up, but he wasn't a bad choice. I that hair, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the rest of the outfit is about right, but that's what? Really?
When I think Riddler, I think fluorescent orange hair and nothing else ever.
What do you think when you see my fluorescent orange hair, then? You think I'm the Riddler?
Well, now is probably as good a time as any to say, yes, I'm reasonably certain you're the Riddler.
Well,
careful, Matt. Maybe you know too much.
Shh, quiet, Dr. Jackstraw. You're going to mess this up for me.
So look, there you
I'm just
go.
Saying, if you get any packages with question marks all over them, don't open it.
But it might be that Matthew Lesko book on how to get government grants. Those are fine. Okay.
I'd rather just have the Matthew Lesko suit.
I really want to watch Batman fight that guy.
So you can get any grant. Ow!
Soon all of Gotham City will have grants from the government.
Not today, criminal. The first time I saw that dude, I thought he was saying, you can get Amy Grant. the Christian rock singer. Like, really?
You instantly ordered all his stuff.
No, her stuff. Amy.
Get me Amy Grant.
She's kind of cute. Can I get it? Okay, I can get Amy Grant. That's pretty cool. All right.
They're the grants you need, not the grants you deserve.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat Loika. Next question comes from Sabrina, and she writes, yeah, my brain is turned to mush. Anyways, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
Oh.
That's it. That's the question.
Oh, okay. I am not going to say maple.
Is that some kind of a trap or some kind of a...
It's a Canadian thing.
Oh, right. I get it. Oh, maple. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, you're not going to say maple.
Sure not.
He's itching to say maple.
I'm not saying it right now.
You are pretty good at not saying stuff.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm going to do it now.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah.
Can you do it again? Can you do it three times fast?
Probably not. Don't tax his maple brain. God, trees. I don't know. Trees are stupid. I got nothing.
I don't think I'd be a tree. I'd rather be a foe.
What? Don't make me figure out whatever pun that is, because my brain's going to work, and then it's going to say, why did I spend all that time to figure that out?
You figured out my evil plan.
Wait a minute. You're Dr. Jackstraw. I knew it.
His power to confuse with terrible puns.
I would be a bonsai because I don't know. Sure.
You like haircuts.
Yeah. There you go. That's why we're an unstoppable comedy duo.
Yeah, you like being picked at with tweezers.
Well, that part is true, but we don't need to get into that right now. All right, next question comes from Mal from the Chuck versus Mal show, and she writes, "Hi guys, I don't know if you've covered it in another show or not, but you do have a secret shame. Do you have a secret shame guilty pleasure song? I have more than I care to admit. Not Journey's. Journey is effing rad. No, it's not.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
But I was My curious, sister.
But I was curious to know what songs force you to sing out loud and car dance but make you cringe at the same time. Yours truly, Mal." That's a good question. I don't think we have had that before, actually.
Oh.
Since Matt clearly has no shame, especially when it comes to music, I'm not sure he can answer this one.
Just the other day, I was caught singing Material Girl in the store.
Did you change the words? Or were you
not at all.
The girl part? Really? Yeah, see, it's like that thing in Office Space where when the racial epithets come up, you can't actually sing along and say that you're, a this and a that, because that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sing that you're a woman. You really shouldn't do that. That's a bad precedent to set there. Like when the Just a Girl comes on, can't do that one either.
Yeah, but I also can't, the artist has a real intent in it. You know, why should I be the one to change that intent?
Well, yeah, you're maintaining the artistic integrity of the song.
Of a Madonna song?
Those two words have never been used to describe a Madonna song, but...
Well, I mean, the
breaking new ground here on the podcast.
The Sex Book had an incredible amount of artistic integrity. I can't deny that.
Yeah.
That's nice pictures.
Yeah, and Vanilla Ice was in there, so there's that.
And if you still have a copy, I can sell it for over $100.
Yeah, they're worth quite a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I eBayed mine 10 years ago and got 70 or 80 for it, and it's worth a little more now. So
let me take you into the dark world of used books.
And actually, if you have...
Wait, mine doesn't have any urine on it. Does that devalue it?
Well, if you pre-soak it, you can probably get up to like 150.
Yeah, but you really have to chemically treat that because that book has a metal cover and it doesn't absorb urine. You really got to do some special stuff to get the urine to really stick to it.
Mm-hmm. See, I figured the metal cover was a protective layer that keeps the urine in.
Why would Madonna not want urine on her?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in that book, and there might possibly have been peeing for all I know. I actually, and this sounds like a goof, but really, I got a free copy. Like, I had a friend who worked at a bookstore, and he's just like, "Here, you want this?" Well, okay.
Yes. Yes, I do.
I bought it on purpose.
That was $50, dude. It was not a cheap book.
No, it wasn't. But this was before, provided naked pictures of any celebrity you wanted.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, you could even see Madonna naked. She did that Playboy spread.
Mm-hmm.
You could have paid $5 for that versus the $50 of seeing Vanilla Ice naked. That's all I remember about that book is that Vanilla Ice was in it. The face that he made in that book, I will never forget as long as I live. He's just got this look like, oh yeah, I'm naked with Madonna.
Like they brought the book to me all laid out like.
they had it all wrote out, you know. they said they needed to ice it up. The stupidest look is on his face. He's so happy and so incapable of any kind of thought at all. It's just so classic.
Yo, this is like a year before I'm going to get held out of a window. Things are going all right for Vanilla Ice.
Things are coming up icy.
My star is never going to fall, ever. Oh, boy. But guilty pleasure song. Actually, Vanilla Ice brings me nicely to, I know all the words to Ice Ice Baby, and I will sing them if it comes on, because it is in one of my playlists. That whole pop rap, I've talked about that before. I got, Bust a Move, which I think is a good song, but it's still, like singing all the words to it does not.
Don't just stand there.
Can't Touch This and fuck anything by like Will Smith before he called himself Will Smith when he was still the Fresh Prince. That's all my guilty pleasure stuff. Any pop rap from like 85 to 90.
I love his songs about how parents just don't understand.
They don't, and the girls of the world are nothing but trouble. I mean, he's speaking some real truth there.
Yeah.
Dave?
Well, look, I'm not going to say that Mbop is loaded into my phone, but I'm not going to say that it isn't.
I do enjoy that song. And I'm not even ashamed to say that. It's a good pop song. It's a catchy, dumb little pop song. But I did try to karaoke it once, and that was too far. My voice does not go up there. Oh, boy. All right, next question comes from Duh, and he asks, Have you ever been in a physical fight? Who am I kidding? You're podcasters. Do you think if you were in a fight as a child, you would be a tougher adult? Should there be child fight parties like the pox parties? What?
Everyone... Those are those things where if your kid has chicken pox, all the other parents will bring their kid over so they all catch it.
That's a thing?
Yeah. Yeah. South Park
so
didn't
the theory is they all get it heard... once and get yeah. it over.
Oh, yeah. I see. I suppose that makes sense. Everyone would bring their kid to someone's house and toss them into a battle royale. Fight Club Junior is how he signed it.
Okay, very well. Actually, that is a thing. There have been videos on YouTube where, you know, parents of the year have encouraged their small children to duke it out.
Ah. They're called boy
Hopefully
fights.
Those people are in jail now, but who knows?
Boy fights. They don't include the Baby Buster shorts, though. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, you have to get the DVD for that. You can't just watch that on YouTube.
Oh, me gusta leche, even though I'm so old. we've answered this question before. Matt has been in a fight, and there's not a funny story to it. It's actually kind of noble. And
well, now, was it Matt, or was it as his alter ego, Captain Canuck?
No, an expert on Captain Canuck, but he's no.
No. Well, yeah, how do you think he became an expert on Captain Canuck?
Well, the power of aliens and God gave them to him, apparently. Isn't that also what it was?
Yeah. Aliens from God, thank you.
Right, of course. See, Shauna would know all about that. That's not really our area of expertise. Too bad we're on her bad side, and now we'll never
Perhaps know. She's his sidekick.
Could be. But yeah, Matt was actually in an action.
Yeah, I was in a fight on the SkyTrain one time.
And it was a real thing. Like, you were defending somebody, and it was like...
Yeah, it sort of didn't go well, as well as I'd planned.
No, it's more noble than anything I've ever done.
I was riding the train one time, and this dude drags his girlfriend on and sits down right in front of me and proceeds to start alternately yelling in her face and choking her. So I punched him twice. And then he hit
me. How many times did he punch you?
Three times. And then I punched him two more times. And then his girlfriend started screaming at me. And then I was dragged off the train.
Okay, now, Matt, I've never been in a fight. Like, I'll freely admit I'm a wuss, and I've never been in a fight. But when you tell the story of a fight, you don't tell it like, I hit him two times. Then he hit me three times. Then I hit him. Like, you got to embellish it a little. You got to, like, okay, you got to start it. So there I was. Like,
that's the thing. It wasn't a good fight. It was just two guys. It was
also, picture. If you lose the fight, picture. You have to add at least two more guys on the other side.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well,
the girl
two guys dragged me off.
Well, there.
See, but, there. Okay, that's better.
Yeah,
but I mean, really,
if you could picture a game of Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Well, now we have our episode title: Rock'em Sock'em Robot'em.
Well played, sir.
Just two guys alternately punching each other in the face.
No, but really, think about all the douchebag tough guys you hear telling stories about fights. Do you really think they're as glorious as they say they are? Or do you think they got drunk and, like, pushed someone in the face and, like, bit them and, like, you know, like, try to claw at their eyes? I mean, the fights are not like they are on TV. They're ugly, you know, like, cheap shot crap. I mean...
Yeah, exactly. But like in They Live.
No, this didn't go on for half an hour, did it? So it's not like the fight in They Live. Dave, what about you? Ever been in a fight?
A couple, yeah.
Anything worth telling?
Yeah, no.
Very well. There was that time we almost saw someone go at a bartender when we were in Vegas, but that was just I don't know what that was about.
He couldn't get another drink, and so apparently the bartender was a bitch.
Ah, yeah. He just stood there at the edge of the bar yelling, "Use a bitch!" for half an hour until security finally carted him away.
Use is still a bitch. Use is continuing to be a bitch.
He also had a choice racial
He's never
slur.
Not a bitch.
He had a
you
choice.
Know who...
Oh, go ahead.
You know who's a bitch in this room?
Use. He also had a choice racial slur that he would tack onto the end of it, which is weird because the dude yelling was black and the bartender was white. And yet he was still referring to him by a not very flattering adjective.
Chinaman?
Yes. That is, in fact, the issue here.
Shoes is a bitch, Chinaman.
Come on, sir. Come with us. The Chinaman's not the issue.
And please, Asian American is the preferred nomenclature.
All right, next question comes from Beav, and he says, hey there, Al, Matt, and Dave. Unless his email is too late and you have a different guest or no guest, in which case, fuck all of y'all.
It is too late. I'm the host. These two are my guests, so.
No, we've been through that. Don't make us smack you down again, dude.
Yes, sir.
Matt will hit you, and then you'll hit him, and then he'll hit you again.
Well, he'll hit me two times, and then I'll hit him three times.
Wait, is that like telegraphing punches? Are these like dashes and dots? First, he hit me three times long, and then three times short, and then three times long. It meant SOS.
Two punches, three slaps.
Yeah, translate, please air pulling, stop hitting me.
Beef continues, if you could go back in time, and he does write the word you twice, if you could go back in time, time machine of your choice, and steal one item from any place in time, what would it be?
Wait a minute, he's only talking to two of us because it's you and you. But which you is me?
If you
can be driving the time machine.
Very good, sir.
Well, I know exactly what I'd take.
Oh,
I would go back in time and steal my ex-girlfriend's phone number so that I would never call her.
we've known each other for how long? Would you say 15 years? That's about right. Yeah. And yeah, I could have told you that without a time machine.
Dave, we gotta go back. Something's gotta be done about
your ex-girlfriend. Do our kids turn out to be assholes or something?
No, you're just really bad at dating.
Didn't need a guy from the future to tell me that.
No. I could have told him that back in 1996. Oh, Christ. No, I'm picturing, because you said one guy's driving. I picture, like, Willikins driving the time machine, and he's like that one astronaut that had to stay in the capsule while the other guy's got to walk on the moon. Here we are on Roman times. No, you stay here. You can't come out. I'm going to go talk to the Emperor Claudius, and you just stay here.
No, you're going to change the timeline.
What about you, sir? You've just had that horse elected to the Senate. Never mind that.
It's all right if I do it. I've had training, I have.
I've watched every episode of Doctor Who there is.
Remember? Diddly-doo, 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 doo-doo.
Come on, do the other part.
You're not coming in.
Willikins, I've gone back in time and I've nailed your great-great-great-great-great-grandmother.
Now I literally belong to you, sir. Delightful.
Boy. Steal one item. I would steal a Fabergé egg because, you know, those things are just...
Hitler's Fabergé egg.
And then I'd stop and grab a copy of the sex book on the way back because those are worth a lot of money.
Apparently. Here, Madonna, soak this in urine.
All right.
I get to soak something in urine.
Oh, no, she didn't sound fake British back then. That's now.
Oh, now we're going way back.
She sounded more like Harley Quinn back in the day.
Okay.
What you need to understand is that Like a Virgin is about a chick who likes to fuck.
Thanks for that clarification.
Somewhere Quentin Tarantino was going, I knew it.
No, you see, I knew it. Okay? I knew it.
All right.
Well, if Hitler's Fabergé egg is already gone.
You could come back 5 minutes before me and steal it, and then I'll just be like standing there.
I would go back and steal Matt's great, 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 great grandmother's virginity.
Oh, God. That explains so much. Oh. All right, moving on. Another one from Beav. If you could save time in a bottle, what would you drink a bottle of in order to make room for it? He's really hung up on this time thing, isn't he? I would say a bottle of Brut, and I wouldn't drink it, but I would empty it out. No, let me finish. I'm not finished yet. And then I would light the top of it on fire, because time is the fire in which we burn.
Nicely done.
That was good.
What about you guys?
A bottle of Stone Vertical Epic 2006.
That one of your
damn good beer.
Ah, I see. Noted beer snob, Dave Fields.
I would want a bottle that had previously had a genie in it. And then I can use the genie to ask for a time machine, go back in time, and steal Hitler's Fabergé egg 5 minutes before Al gets there.
God damn it. I'm just picturing Hitler up on that, like, the balcony where he was often in the footage, and mm-hmm. like, a black and white footage of me next to him as I am now, like, kicking the ground. God damn it.
God damn it, Matt.
Robe off him. All right.
Holding a note that says, like, too late from Matt.
The egg's on your face.
Oh. Egg.
And then a young Young William Dozier sees that and says, I've got it, a perfect Batman villain. In 20 years, when I become a famous producer, I'm using that.
Get me Vincent Price.
He's 7 years old, sir. I don't care. All right.
Egg.
Next question comes from Jeremy, and he writes, Dear Algar, Matt, and guest, what was your favorite toy as a kid? How about now? I'm assuming Algar's was a Transformer and Matt's was a Ninja Turtle, but please elaborate.
Why on earth would you assume that?
Well, we've done this a few times, actually. But I almost feel like we need to take this in another direction, because I had my robots, Matt had his Ghostbusters. And I don't know, Dave, you want to speak up on the...
Oh, Legos, all the way.
Ah,
awesome.
And I actually got to the point where I was making Transformers out of Legos.
I did that.
No kidding.
Oh, I believe it. But and this was back in the days, like when, you know, when we were kids, we Legos did. Well, I mean, I hate these like Lego model kits where it's just like, here are exactly enough pieces to build a TIE fighter. Like that's kind of fun. But like, oh, yeah.
Well, of course, back in our day.
Yeah. Back in the 70s.
I mean, there were no movie tie-ins. It was just, right. You know, you had Legos. You had some space Legos. You had your medieval castle Legos. You had your, you know, little town Legos.
You had to plan the thing yourself. There weren't a set of instructions that told you, like...
I don't know. They came with a set-by-set instructions, but then you can just go and, well, after you had a few sets, you could just combine, you know, you'd make whatever the hell you wanted.
Right. Mm. So, like, medieval space cow or something.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
Medieval space cow is my favorite Lego set.
Also, Dave Barry thinks that would make a good band name. Oh God, I don't know. I mean, we've answered this question so many times. I feel like we need a different way to answer it.
What was the toy that you were most disappointed in?
Ooh, there's a good one. God, so many. Probably the Snoopy snow cone machine.
Because
I don't know if you, Dave, you probably remember this. The commercial ran for the entire 70s. Had a little jingle and everything, and if it's on YouTube, I'll put it in the show notes. But it, like any of those things, like the Easy Bake Oven or anything like that that made it sound like you could make delicious candy or baked goods or whatever in your own home, it's like, ooh, cool, I can make snow cones with Snoopy. Noted snow cone lover, Snoopy. Because what I want hanging around when I'm making, you know, water-based things is a dog.
Here's the World War One flying ace making snow cones.
I've got beagle hairs in my
face. Yeah, all of his seem to be lemon.
Oh. That was pretty good. But no, what you would do is you would put ice cubes in there. You would turn this crank that would crush them up like snow cone ice. Only because it was a kid's toy, there couldn't be anything sharp in there. So it was these sort of dull plastic things that kind of crushed, but really you would just hurt your hand cranking for hours. And by the time it finally came out...
Instead of crushing the ice crushed the crusher and you had like a plastic snow cone.
Yeah, exactly. And then by the time you finally made some forward motion and it all melted, and you just had a cup full of water and like some dye that didn't even taste like anything.
Would have been a cup full of broken dreams.
Tastes like Snoopy. What about you guys?
God, I don't know.
Because, I mean, we were really the first generation, the first proper generation of kids that just were nonstop barraged with commercials that told us how great toys were. Like, I think our parents' generation didn't really have that. We were, you know, sort of kids coming up in the 70s and 80s were kind of the first ones that had that full on. So there was a lot.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had any really sucky toys. Like, you know, like, you know, played with Legos a lot. I had the, you know, the usual, the G.I. Joe and Star Wars action figures. I had the... Oh, God, what else?
Well,
Transformers.
Some of the Star Wars sets were a little disappointing, I would say. I mean, the commercials made them out to be, you know, a bit better than they were. Like the Ewok set where you had, like, one tree. And like,
I never had the sets, though. I had action figures. I had a snow speeder.
Ah.
And I had, eventually, I got the AT-AT.
Oh, shit.
But boy, did I have to pull some strings to get that.
Yeah, as a kid, I guess you had no problems whatsoever.
Yeah, Jesus
Christ. Oh, I had plenty of problems.
I suppose
it was a weak Band-Aid to cover over the gaping wound.
I got 99 problems, but an AT-AT ain't one of them.
Exactly.
Son, your mother and I are splitting up, but here's an AT-AT.
No, I had to, you know, make an end run around the parents and go through the grandparents.
Oh, right.
Ah.
That's a classic move. That's well done. No, I guess my follow-up disappointing toy would be the shoebox that I got to stand in for an X-Wing. Because I never I never got any of the ships or anything. I was always like, no, you got the figures, just pretend.
Ah, it looks just like it looks just like
the
X-Wing
and the TIE Fighter.
Yeah, exactly. I use one of those, coming back to our running egg theme for some reason, I have one of those pantyhose eggs that I used. It's like, what did I use that for? I don't even remember.
World's shittiest Death Star.
No, I think it was like, it was like Han Solo's frozen in carbonite.
Or an egg.
Oh, yeah, that does have potential, though. I remember one of the favorite things about going to grandma's house, she lived several hours away, so it was, you know, like a holiday trip. It was a big deal.
She
to grandma's
was over
house.
The hill and through the woods. I mean, it's very far actually, away.
I had to don my little Red Riding Hood, and anyway, she kept this drawer full of just random junk, like, you know, empty egg cartons and paper towel rolls and just little knickknacks. And we, you know, me and my sister would go over there and just have a great time putting stuff together and just, you know.
Matt, you probably don't remember this because this is back when kids had imaginations.
I don't know. My grandparents had Tinker Toys. I did the same thing.
Yeah, I suppose that works. Are Tinker Toys that old that, like, you wouldn't have them in your own house, that you'd have to go, like, to your grandparents' house to have them?
I think so. Also, I personally would never ask for Tinker Toys because they're not that great. Oh, especially if you have access to Lego.
Well, they're better than Lincoln Logs, which basically you could build a log cabin or a log cabin.
You can build a log cabin or you cannot build a log cabin.
Or if you built a small log cabin, you could build two of them. Those are pretty much your only options.
I don't know. I guess I must have lived in some little bubble of innocence where I was just happy to get anything.
Oh, I was too. This is all retroactive. I mean, at the time, I was fine with whatever I had. But thinking back of my, you know, adventures of a shoebox chasing another shoebox, it is a bit disappointing.
Down a shoebox trench
with pantyhose eggs chasing you.
Porkins will never fit in that thing.
I have to fire this marble into this hole in the shoebox.
No, like I said, the only things that I found truly disappointing were the things where the commercials clearly lied to you and made things sound cool or easy that really were not. Yeah. Matt, what about you?
My two big ones. For Christmas one year, I really wanted the Batmobile, which I eventually got. Mm-hmm. But I was given the Superman Walker, which, if you've never seen it, is a chair with legs that Superman would walk around in.
Okay, now, Dave, you're not a big comic book guy, but you are aware that Superman can...
I'm aware that he was not paralyzed from the waist down, yeah.
No, that was Christopher Reeve. That was the Christopher Reeve chair you got.
Yeah, you were confused.
I mean, I can see
the
confusion.
Fact that he wasn't in his costume should have tipped you off.
No, but I mean, I do remember what Matt's talking about, though. There was this weird thing where, like, some superheroes had vehicles, and so the ones that could travel just fine under their own power also got them. And it's like, why does Superman need this?
Like, well, Superman can fly faster than a speeding bullet, or he can trudge along slower than my grandma in her rascal scooter.
Well, I suppose when you're as powerful as Superman, you never really get a villain that has a chance against you. Maybe you want to, you know, give yourself a little handicap to sort of level the playing field a little bit.
Don't go anywhere, Lex Luthor. I'm on my way.
Now, this should be suitably down to your level. Let's fight. Since I could just send your head flying off your neck with one punch, I'll...
You better think quickly, Lex Luthor. I'm going to be there in 15 minutes.
So you got the Superman chair, and what else?
Yeah, the other one I got was... by this point, I was way too old to have this thing. I was given a set of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers color forms.
Wow.
Do you guys remember what color forms were?
Oh, yeah. Those have been around since forever.
Mm-hmm. Are they like Shrinky Dinks or...
Now, those were you got like a board that had like a background on it, and then they were basically stickers that you could put on and then remove.
There was sort of like
okay, yeah, I remember having something like that too.
There were like window clings. They stuck with static, and you could peel them off and move them around.
Yeah, I mean, when I was like really, really little, I had a set of Ghostbuster ones that I loved.
Oh yeah, I had a Muppet set when I was like 4 or 5 that I loved too. But after that point, yeah.
But I got these, I think I was like 12
Shrinky Dinks were those things that you put in the oven and they...
Like, well, you'd color them first and then you'd put them in the oven and they'd shrink down to be a smaller version of what you just had.
And they would also like harden a little bit so they could, be jewelry or like Christmas tree ornaments or something?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, because when you're a boy, you're not going to say, oh, I'm going to wear this on a necklace, or I'm going to put this on the tree. You're just, well, that's...
Oh, some boys.
Well, true. But, you know, only the ones that drank Zima.
The ones who needed a boy fight.
there's really nothing decorative that your average boy is going to look at and say, well, it's a good thing I have this little hard plastic rendition of a thing that I like.
Hey, you know what would be better than playing video games?
Putting things in the oven and waiting.
Yeah, it's like an action figure, only not nearly as cool.
Only without the action part.
Yeah, or the figure.
In action figure.
Right. Christ. All right, next question comes from Ted Bigsby, and he writes, podcasters and guests, I was enjoying the Weird Al concert, and I noticed that not only were older folks there, but many were bringing their kids to enjoy something they did, effectively spreading Weird Al to a whole new generation for them to appreciate. I got to thinking about this. If by some strange chance you have kids, what three things would you like to pass on to them to enjoy? You know, like movies, TV shows, music, Batman, etc. Ted. First of all, well done seeing Weird Al. He puts on a fucking awesome show.
Maybe, I still would someday like to see him.
And I've been to real concerts, like actual, you know, bands that aren't just a novelty act, and he puts on by far the best show. He just puts so much work into it, the costume changes and set pieces and like video monitors, and he really goes all out. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
As far as passing things on to kids, well, three things, so there's three of us, so that works. Dave, you got anything?
Well, if I ever ended up having kids, I would certainly want to pass on the lesson of birth control.
That's a big one.
One that you clearly didn't learn, so.
Don't make the same mistake I did, son. I'm a mistake.
My mother actually sprung that one on me once or twice by accident.
Yeah.
She's like, if I had finished high school and gone to college, I would have become this. But then, and she kind of trailed off. And then what?
Over you.
Yeah. Oh. And
yes.
Then, I see.
Then what happened?
But yeah, she would have been a marine biologist, but then I happened. So. In case you've
been sailing the seas with Jacques Cousteau.
That's a damn shame. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of great things. We were talking about this a little bit in the pre-show. I mean, I would pass along the music of Michael Jackson, my love of unmarked white vans.
Candy taken from a stranger.
Oh yeah, unwrapped candy.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are all pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Just blindly getting in someone's car.
Oh yeah, especially a van without windows, like a white van without windows.
Yeah.
Listen, long solitary walks through sketchy neighborhoods.
Yeah, oh, listen, kids today don't trust enough.
Yeah, you gotta get them banged up a little bit. They really need to experience more, you know, like toughen up a little.
Yeah, yeah. Back in my day, kids would go missing all the time. It was great. It really depleted the population.
Matt, it's still your day. Your day hasn't actually
your
ended.
Day, like last week?
Yeah. You know, Thursday, my day.
Yeah.
I mean, you still have to hold your mom's hand when you cross the street.
Much as she begs me to stop.
Oh, go ahead. Mom.
She's begging you to stop and saying, look, I am not your mother, guy.
All right.
I know who you are.
Well, you know, we're trying to get him to trust just random strangers, so that'll
take you back. I'm going to take you back to my motel and teach you about taxidermy.
And then you tried to escape, and you hit him once, and he hit you once. then he kissed you once, and all right. Next, the next three questions come from Flonk. However, he is not
three.
Yeah,
there's only three.
Hang on, he's not our Flonk of the week this week because we actually have six questions from somebody else. So. Believe it or not, Flonk is not even the best Flonk anymore.
Do we still get to call him Flonk, or should we come up with another name?
Well, I mean,
the next one comes from Kevin,
the fan formerly known as Flonk.
Well, I mean, he couldn't even get Flonk like the username on Twitter. He's Flonk 2. Maybe we should call him Flonk 2 from now on, because the real Flonk
looking
is
it up.
The lesser of two Flonks.
Well, we already have the superior Lynch, his brother Brian. All right. First of his three questions is specifically for Dave. Dear Dave, Natty Ice or PBR? Flonk. This, of course, addressing your aforementioned beer snobbishness. And again, not a dig at you, but you do appreciate the finer beers.
Natty Ice or Jesus Christ, Flonk. You know, you raise him from a lad, you try to teach him right from wrong. And this is what he can. Oh, God, I wouldn't use either of those to put out a fire.
I think, is this like I mean, I'm completely, you know, ignorant when it comes to beer. Is this an alcoholic version of Coke or Pepsi?
Now, this is an alcoholic version of warm urine or cold urine.
Well, Matt's our urine expert.
They both have their merits.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, if you're going to be picky, if you had to choose one, what's...
Well, I mean, look, if you're going to drink urine of any kind, then you really want it hot and fresh from the source.
Wow. I don't even have a snarky retort to that. So, Dave, tell us what the deal is with this beer. Is this just...
Well, this is the kind of beer that you would drink when you're in college and have no money and no taste in beer. It's cheap and has alcohol in it. Is really the only merit that either of these have.
Well, if you had to choose, if there were only two beers,
if there were a gun to my head and somebody said you will drink one of these or you will die, mm-hmm. Have I had time to put my house in order?
No, you
honestly, I couldn't really answer the question as I've not tasted either of them.
Very well, damn it! I was really hoping I would get isolate a quote of you saying I would drink the Pat Blue Ribbon.
You will never get a quote of me saying that.
Saying what?
Saying,
you will never hear me saying that I would drink Pabst Blue Ribbon. Damn it!
Once again, we've outwitted him. No, when he said Natty Ice, at first I thought he was talking about, it's called Natty Bo, National Bohemian, which is the official beer of poor people in Baltimore, also known as People in Baltimore. and that's another one of those piss beers that people drink because they're, you know, they can't afford good beer. But I was not aware that other beers were also called Natty. I guess it's a
short for natural.
Well, you're right. In this case, it's short for national, though. So Natty's kind of a diverse little word there. And it also means a, you know, like a fancy lad in the 20s. So there's that. Matt, I'm surprised you didn't jump on that.
Have I got this wrong? Is that actually a beer? Or you know, is he asking me whether I'd have a cheap beer or a young boy? A young fancy lad.
A young fancy lad who was cold, apparently.
Hmm.
Maybe Vanilla Ice is relaunching himself as Natty Ice.
That's what he called himself. Yo, 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 it's Natty Ice.
But they brought me the beer all laid out, right?
get on the trolley. Word to your mother. All right. Next question comes from Flonk, and he writes, "Hey, buddy."
Speaking Canadian.
Would you like to buy an O, round and sweet? Looks just like a bagel, nearly good enough to eat. You can sing a little song with it like so. Oh, oh, oh. Isn't that catchy? P.S. It'll cost you just a nickel. Yeah, so he's just quoting the Sesame Street song that we've already referenced on the show and really just being redundant and irrelevant. So.
Oh, God, I thought he'd been researching the Natty Ice versus PBR question a little too much.
And yet he still isn't the Flonk of the Week.
No, not even close. And his final question is, dear fellows, what is it about the name Gallagher that makes you not get along with your family? Are the Oasis Gallaghers related to the Watermelon Gallaghers? Why or why not? I got nothing.
I'm not following that one.
Well, what he's saying is, like, I guess the dudes in Oasis, that band Oasis, I'm only vaguely aware of this, but I guess their names are Gallagher.
Oh.
And they fight. And Gallagher 1, 2, and 3 fight. So that's pretty much all he's saying.
Have we confirmed that these people are not actually related? Like, it's two strains of Gallagher and not just one, you know, that's branched off?
It's possible. I don't know very much about Oasis, so I really couldn't say.
The New Hampshire Gallaghers versus the...
the Vermont Gallaghers.
Yeah.
Very old feud.
Other than being people who get up on stage that I don't really want to see, I can't really see a connection.
No. And Dave, I don't know if you've if you heard the show where we revealed all of Gallagher's horrible secrets about just his racist tirades and his just horrible... blind, homophobic. He's just jumping
on the Gibson bandwagon.
Well, you know, we did infuse his career with a bit of, you know, a bit of attention there with the whole human Gallagher thing. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, you may have doubled the number of Google searches for Gallagher in the last year.
Yeah, up to two now.
And it was half of those were people looking for Oasis. So, all right, we have reached the last six entries here. Our flonk of the week. He's
flonk of the week.
Yeah, we need a jingle there. We need some kind of a new like thing.
Do-do-do-do-do. Flonk of the week.
I'll put a little echo in your voice, and maybe we get a stew going. This is from a person who I think has written to us once before so far, John Wiggins.
He's making up for lost time.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, we do appreciate the letters. We do like that you're into the show. But maybe one or two a week, not six. So we're going to, as per our established rules, we're going to go lightning round on these and answer these pretty quick. So,
Lightning round.
First up. Would you two, Algar and Matt, ever perform a reenactment of Clerks? No.
Possibly as Nick and Willikins.
Maybe I'll do the alternate ending where he gets shot at the end.
Yeah, look, they're not even supposed to be here today.
Of course, what a wonderful way to end my day.
Next
shot.
Next email comes is also from him, and it says, an old man goes into a drugstore to buy some Viagra. I'm not reading the rest of this. Next email is called Stupid Story, and it is incredibly long, and I'm not reading that either. Next question is a guest idea, which I'm also throwing out because, you know, let us do the driving, please. Next one is Canadian 3D cartoons. Granted, I've only finished podcast 27 thus far, so forgive me if this has already been brought up, but what the hell. Reboot will always have a special place in my heart, and the latest webcomic has rekindled my flame. My question is, what else has Canada created that you would say would be on the same scale as Reboot?
Wait, just for clarification, is it actually called Reboot, or is he just saying Rebout with a Canadian accent?
I believe he's referring to the CG series Reboot from 1990-something or other. I don't know, Matt. Answer for Canada. Clap for Alaska, boy.
What do you want me to explain what it was, or
no? He's what's better? Like what? I think what he's saying is what's Canada done that's so great?
We did You Can't Do That on Television.
But what are they doing now?
Oh, that's it. Oh. Reboot You Can't Do That on Television. Fair enough. And Kids in the Hall.
Yeah, Kids in the Hall's pretty good. And that Due South show. Don't forget about that one.
I was trying very hard to forget about Due South.
Look, they provided us with Shatner. What more do you expect? They've done their part.
Future Governor General of Canada.
Yeah, we give and we give and we give.
Actually, they've given us most, like most of our actors that we think are American are actually Canadian. But, Shatner, unfortunately, is the one that people think of first off.
So most importantly, we gave you what do you think's in the burgers?
I heard that. next question. Has anybody ever done a comparison between Q from Next Gen and Kazoo from the Flintstones? A godlike entity who enjoys interfering with the lives of mortals. Actually, it all sounds very plagiaristic of Greek gods. Is Kazoo Q just another Loki? All right, Loki is a Norse god, not a Greek god, first of all. Secondly, I believe it's the great Guzu, not Kazoo. But it's actually not a bad question at its heart. Go ahead.
I just like the idea of Q calling Picard dum-dum.
Hello, dum-dum. Mon Capitan, you dum-dum. I would love to see John Delancey in that little hat, like the little green helmet with the antenna sticking
just sort
out.
Of just sort of floating around Picard's head.
Yeah, when he appears, it goes. That would be fantastic.
Go away, Q.
Quiet, dumb.
Trying to tell this guy that there are four lights.
Dave, you got anything? Come on, you got the full frame of reference here. You've seen the Flintstones in Next Gen. You can jump in on this one.
No, could be the same character.
All right, then.
Well, I mean, the Loki character, the trickster, has been a theme throughout pretty much all of human history.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's possible. I mean, you know.
And, so, I mean, maybe it's just different names for the same entity that's just been interfering with us all along.
So now who is he now? Like right now in 2010?
Well, we know in the 25th century he's Q.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 24th, but yes.
Well, I assume he continues to be Q.
Nice save. You get a no prize.
Well, let's see. Back in prehistoric times, he was the Gazoo, so he was it was a G. Then up in the 24th century, he was a Q. Maybe by the 25th, he's an R. I don't know. where would that put him now? Let's see.
Well, there's a lot of time between the prehistoric time and now versus, you know, the relatively small amount of time between now and a few centuries from now. So.
Okay, so he's probably about an I. He's Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, there we go. Tying it all together. Word to your mother, dum-dums. All right.
The only way to banish him is to hang him out a window.
All right. That's all the questions we have. So that's pretty much all we got, guys. You got anything else? Any late breaking news? Any announcements? Any? I don't know.
Have we done a butt check yet?
You know, I said before that's a thing I like to say, but I don't actually want to know how your butt is.
Still cracked.
Yep.
God damn it. Well, that's all from us, and we're going to stop talking now.
The management would like to apologize. What? Sorry, would like me to apologize for the disruption in the show's opening segments. So now for your amusement, here's the adventures of Nick and Willikins. Hmm? Oh, and Al also wants me to apologize for playing Journey. He can just go on wanting that.
And now the adventures of Nick and Willikins.
Last time, you'll remember 3 years passed as if in an instant, because I am your narrator, and the narrator is God. Also, Nick met his elderly aunt or some damn thing. We now join our story already in progress.
And now I'm here at the other side of the room, aren't I? Hello, good great Aunt Petunia. You look like you have something to say. Do you?
Hello, Nick. You have grown since when I first saw you.
Yes, that was about 10 seconds ago.
Wow, you've become a struck in your lad, hasn't you? As you finally become a powerful barrister, like what I'd intended for you.
No, good great Aunt Petunia, but I have been working on my drawings. Look at this one. It's a cat, isn't it? Look at her whiskers.
A drawing? That is no great occupation for a Nick. Nicks have been good great men of power. Barristers, lords, Welshmen, lorry drivers, fish and chipsmen. No good great nephew of mine shall be a barrister.
I think you mean artist, good great Aunt Petunia.
Don't you tell me what I think. Willikins.
You screech, madam.
Willikins, I told you on my deathbed that you must raise Nick to be a proper lord of Nick Hall. I must be trained in the Nick way.
Madam, you haven't left your deathbed in over 17 years.
That's right. I'm in my deathbed, so I'm dying, ain't I?
Well, in the sense that we are all dying, madam, slowly, over years, until we pray that it shall finally take us into that sweet oblivion.
Right. And so you must take Nick to the Cornies, as is my dying request. And there he must be trained to be a man of breeding and charm. Enough of this drawing silliness.
The Colonies? Oh, deny! I shall become a proper drawer with teaching such as those.
Very well, madam. That is your final request.
It is. But for one more. Come closer.
Yes, madam.
Barrister?
Yes?
You must service me sexually.
Well, that's disgusting, isn't it?
What awaits Nick and Willikins in the Colonies? Will Nick become a real gentleman, or will he live his dream of becoming a drawer? What new display of power will your almighty narrator display? Pray to me, and all will be revealed on the next episode of The Adventures of Nick and Willikins. The Adventures of Nick and Willikins is fast becoming the most popular feature here on the Sarcastic Voyage podcast, and it's no surprise. We've all had about enough of those other two guys, am I right? So here's the thing. Nick Hall, the ancestral home of young Nick and his faithful manservant Willikins, needs more citizens, and that's where you come in. We'd like to hear your ideas for new characters in the Nick and Willikins universe. And when we say here, we mean exactly that. Send the show an audio file of your proposed character, along with a short description of who they are. Written entries will not be accepted. The character should hail from the United Kingdom, that's England, Northern Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, and should not be a blood relative of Nick. Remember, he's the last of his line. Let's show a little respect for continuity, all right? Send those auditions to podcast@algar.com, and good luck. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at sarcasticvoyage.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website, again, is sarcasticvoyage.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, @RobotMatt and @Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2010. Are we really running with this gag the whole episode?
Oh, no.